This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning. I'm Jason Laidler here with my world-famous co-host, Ted Walshin. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. We got a big show today. We're going to talk about probate stuff and avoiding probate stuff, as usual. But there's a couple other things on your mind, I think.
Well, today it's December the 3rd, and today is the International Day of Disabled Persons, something that we here in Ontario have been taking to heart, I think, a lot more. And part of that had to do with the late David Onley when he was Lieutenant Governor, because he pushed for disabilities. And nowadays, we're a lot more cognizant of that in building codes and just in our attitudes in general.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. And for you, it's on a personal level as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure I've mentioned on the show before, I had a brother with special needs. We lost him earlier this year, unfortunately. Much too soon, of course. He was very close to his 40th birthday. And so for the celebration of life, we actually combined it with the traditional celebration of life slash posthumous 40th birthday party. So that was kind of neat. We had at least two different types of birthday cake there. I think there might have been three, but it was a lovely show of support. And so, yeah, I've got firsthand experience. My family does, you know, dealing with special needs loved one, including. And we're going to spend some time today talking about what that means for planning and probate, of course. But I, once upon a time, was using a lot of RDSPs. I don't want to get into it right now too much, but the Registered Disability Savings Plan, very, very underused planning tool. A lot of people don't understand it. It is complicated, I will admit. But it's a very powerful planning tool for families with disabled loved ones, the RDSP.
I didn't even know that existed.
There you go. I rest my case. And, yeah. You know, once again, the R stands for registered. So it is not a non-registered investment. It's a registered investment. And we'll talk about what that means later on. But, yeah, that's a bit of an insight as to what's coming up for the show.
Kind of it's a very historical day today as well. It was on this day in 1989, President George H.W. Bush and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev declared the Cold War over during a summit in Malta. And the world changed big time. And now here we are in 2023, and the Cold War is staring us square in the face once again.
What was that year again, Ted?
1989.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so old is new again, right?
Yeah, so does that mean that's not the same as the Berlin Wall coming down? That's different.
Well, it's very similar. I mean, it's part of the package, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, when the wall came down, the doors opened up for one country, and the Soviet Union ceased to exist, and things were totally different. And then a guy by the name of Putin moved in, and things are back to where they once were. And now we see what's going on, the mess that's going on in the Middle East as well. And this Thursday, December the 7th, is the beginning of Hanukkah. We'll see how that all plays out as well. But for our Jewish friends, we certainly wish you the happiest of Hanukkahs and hope that there is peace in the Middle East.
Yes, happy Hanukkah coming up. Ted, I forgot to mention, getting back to the International Day of Disabled Persons, I actually pulled off a few quick factoids here from the United Nations website when I was doing some of my prep. See, I do some prep for the show sometimes, Ted. And it says of the 1 billion, billion with a B, the 1 billion population of persons with disabilities, 80% live in developing countries. So that gets back to, you know, your point about us in Ontario. You know, we are doing more than ever before, I think it's safe to say, to accommodate and provide extra services when we can for these people. Because we're not, well, some people would argue, but I would say we're not in a developing country. Next little fact, an estimated 46%, you'll find this interesting, Ted. 46% of older people aged 60 years and over are people with disabilities. Almost half of people over the age of 60. And lastly,
well I'm not sure what do they use the definition of disability. I mean, somebody walking with a cane, I guess, is disabled.
I guess so. Sure. And obviously, there's
it is a disability.
Yeah, there's shades of gray here for sure. The last factoid here. One in every five women is likely to experience disability in her life, while one in every 10 children is a child with a disability. One in 10.
Wow.
I'm sure that's a global, yeah, it's a United Nations stat, so it's a global-based.
Well, when we think of disabilities, quite often we think of physical disabilities, immobility, you know, the problems with moving around and navigating stairs and navigating washrooms, etc. But there's also the visual disabilities as well that people need to keep.
And the mental disabilities.
Exactly. So,
right. Which we hear a lot to think of. A lot to think of. Well, we got more to think of and more to talk about here on the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning. And a mailbag.
We have a special guest coming up today.
We got lots. We got a special guest going to join us for part of the show later on after our weekly update from Debbie Stanley with regard to solving the probate puzzle. So we'll talk to her next, right after this quick break. You got a few minutes to top up your tea or coffee, and we'll be right back.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trusts because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but there's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust, in a lot of ways, is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Lather or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Lather of avoidprobate.ca.
And welcome back. We are listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and the information we provide in the program is for general consumption only. It is not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation, of course, is different. And if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert, and we have them on hand. So contact us. You can do that via email. It's info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. Time for an update on solving the probate puzzle. And here from ATB Canada is our good friend, and hopefully one day yours, Debbie Stanley. Hey, Deb.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
Good, good. And how's Jason today?
Hi, Debbie. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Debbie, I'm wondering, before you give us your update, do you think you should tell the listeners where you are? And I don't mean the actual address, but I think the listeners might be interested to know what happens in your day sometimes, Debbie, when you're working on some of these files.
Today, I'm on site. A client of ours has passed away. They've named me as their executor, and we are on site at the nursing home emptying it out. So my team and I are sitting here in our track pants and grungy clothes, and everybody's been asked to be quiet during this call, but we're packing everything. And it's bittersweet. You know, the staff has come in, and they've said how nice the person was, and you're looking at photos and different knickknacks and personal items, and it's really important to remember that this was a person with their story and their history. So it's a heavy thing to do, but it's also really nice that we can do this for families while they're grieving.
For sure. So like Roxy Moo, which we're going to get an update on in a second, once again, you are acting as the executor for this file where you're working right now.
That is correct. I am the acting executor.
Because you're not always the acting executor. You still help with the services of navigating the probate stuff and jumping through hoops, helping people jump through the hoops when you're not always the executor.
That's correct. So we do assist executors through the process. A lot of times the death occurs, the executors come on board, and let's face it, they don't receive training. There's no, besides our executor ready course out there, there is no course out there for families to learn about it. And Jason, I mean, you're trying to spread the education out there about the importance of pre-planning, but not everyone does, which my business is very reactive, right? We have to react to when somebody doesn't plan.
Yeah, and we've said it on the show many times. We at avoidprobate.ca, we get two types of phone calls generally. One is, I heard your show, great information, I want more, I want to book a no-charge consultation, be proactive to avoid the probate mess you've talked about. And then the other call, of course, is grandma passed away 3 weeks ago, can you help me avoid probate, right? And that's when Debbie Stanley comes in, because we don't shove people away because they didn't call us beforehand. We say, of course, we'll help you. The short answer, though, is we can't help you avoid the probate after the fact, but you are probably going to need some help navigating the probate process, and that's where Debbie and her team come in.
Yeah, exactly, and vice versa. So we don't do any of the pre-planning, any sort of planning. So when we get calls, it's, oh, no, you want to deal with Jason. Is the person still alive? And when they say yes, they say, I'm sorry. It's a unique niche we're in, but yes, everything after death is what we focus on.
Okay, so what's going on with Roxy Moo?
So Roxy Moo has sat in a little bit of a lull. It's typical because we're waiting for certain items. But I am happy to report that one of the investments have been liquidated and we received the check at our office yesterday. So that's really exciting because if you remember when we spoke last week, I was getting concerned about the year end. We're coming up on a calendar year end, right? Mm. Which affects taxes. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are starting to think about their own taxes. Maybe they're doing certain planning and meeting with you, Jason, and trying to top up RRSPs and whatnot. So at the same time, an executor also starts thinking about that calendar year end and what they need to plan for. And my concern was that these investments were going to trickle into 2024, therefore prolonging the taxes and the estate administration. Yeah. So I'm halfway there, which is great before
the sake of like 4 days into January or something like that, right?
It's crazy. It's, you know, 2 days makes an impact.
Yeah.
And you really have to time it right. So the clock is ticking on my end, and I am becoming that pesky phone call person. And I apologize to this advisor because it really is out of their hands. It's their back office. I keep reminding them, hey, I'm here. Maybe we can get that moving a little quicker.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it actually dovetails into I've received a few phone calls this week from listeners just asking how long the estate administration process takes and, you know, is it over after probate? And this is just a prime example of how it's not over after probate. There was a tongue twister. Mm. It continues on until you finalize everything to do with the estate.
Well, yeah, in some ways, for some important aspects of the estate, you can't even begin to work on it until you've got your certificate, right?
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Like, a lot of times.
With regard to these investment accounts, they just tell you to get lost. Call us when you've got your certificate.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's even worse when you don't have a will. They won't even talk to you. So if there's no will, nobody wants to talk to you. But when you have a will, at least you can say, well, I'm the person. Can you give me a little bit of information? It's not a lot, but it's, you know, a couple steps more than without a will.
I guess, but I don't want to sound anti-will because, of course, I'm not anti-will. But what I was going to say is, well, obviously, not everybody has a will. And when you are dealing with probate without a will, it's much the same process, right, Debbie? It's a different piece of paper. I understand that you submit a different document to the court because there's no will, but it doesn't necessarily take longer to get your certificate.
No, the process is pretty much the same. There's a few extra pieces of paperwork and whatnot, but the process is very similar. It's actually more the beginning process before you even apply for probate, because again, trying to get even authority to deal with the person's rental unit might be difficult because the building wants proof of who they should be talking to and who should be canceling the rental agreement. So it's things like that that are outside of the probate process. And I think I mentioned this a lot. Probate's one aspect, but there's so many other components of a person's life. And sometimes having a will just makes that a little bit easier for the person who has to deal with those items.
But, you know, I have to admit, I'm a little bit surprised that it really matters that much, because we've said many times the probate process is that process that validates the will. So you talked about the rental agreement. Well, just because you have a will in your hand, you're going to hope, I guess, that the renter or landlord or whatever gives you the benefit of the doubt because it hasn't been probated. Right? In other words, that will might not be valid. So having a will in your hand without the probate process being completed, it's a weak, imperfect, you know, position.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It just might give that person a little bit of a leg up advantage, possibly. I think we're entering a world of, you know, risk adverse everything. Everybody's afraid to do anything. And I'm starting to see it more and more with estates. And I'm a little bit shocked at what families will tell me that they're getting stuck on, because, you know, the Rogers company, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but like one of the big guys, they want to see some sort of paperwork, and we get it because they don't want it coming back on them. That, oh, we shouldn't have canceled that at all.
Yeah.
So I think we do have to be risk adverse, and there's processes and procedures in place. It's just a really hard time in somebody's life to have to follow all of those processes and procedures. And it just feels like, why are they doing this? But there's a reason for it.
Yeah. So it is a tough time in a person's life for sure. Hence the, you know, encouragement once again, call us before grandma passes away so we can make it a little easier or a lot easier for you by doing some
proactive planning while grandma's still with us, right? That's
it. Yes, I mean, like, yeah.
And as Debbie mentioned, there's always other work to do for the executor. But if we move the money before she passes away and put beneficiaries on it and avoid the probate on some of it, that's going to make things just at least a little easier.
Exactly. What's that saying? And Jason, you're going to have to help me out because I don't even know how to finish it. But what is something about the ounce of prevention is worth? Yeah, something like that. I can't finish it, but it's so true. If we just do a little bit of planning, even just a little bit, it's helpful afterwards.
All right. Well, thank you for the weekly update. How can the listeners get more information about ETP Canada?
They can reach us on our website, which is www.etpcanada.ca. Our email is info@etpcanada.ca. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. And then we have our course, executorready.ca.
Excellent. Okay, Debbie, you have a great week, and we shall chat again next Sunday.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
We're going to step aside. We've got a special guest coming up in just a moment, Jason.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in Fort Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600, start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, three for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And good morning to you. This is the Avoid Probate Show, and we, as usual, welcome you to our website, as we welcome you to our radio program. The website is www.avoidprobate.ca. When you go there, you will find a free probate calculator. You play around with that and get an idea of how much probate might be payable on the estate that you're dealing with. And also, there's a link to past podcasts, which are really just programs that they're now called podcasts after they've gone to air. We have former past programs that you can listen to at your will. So it is www.avoidprobate.ca. Drop by and say hello.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. Okay, we talked in the opening segment, Ted, for a few minutes about the fact that, it is International Day of Disabled Persons. So I wanted to expand on that a little bit in the context of what we're doing at avoidprobate.ca. I mean, you know, the name says it all. We're helping people avoid probate. Probate is a part of settling someone's estate, whether there's a will or not. I've said that before, too. Having a will does not get you out of probate, as we discussed with Debbie Stanley earlier before the break. But of course, when there are special needs, there's special planning requirements and there's special tools. And we are lucky, I mean, at avoidprobate.ca, we make use of some of these special tools when it's necessary. Some of them we need lawyers to help us with, and some of them we don't. We're going to explain what some of the differences are. We've got Colin Gies, regular contributor to the show, joining us for this part of the show in this conversation. Good morning, Colin. How are you?
Morning, Jason. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Glad you're joining us today for, you know, what can be, I don't want to say delicate conversation, but I guess maybe that's an accurate term for it. I mean, it can be, for sure.
It can be. I think people have some reservations and maybe some anxiety about talking to these complicated situations, but we're here to break down those barriers
and make it
more of a safe, comfortable space for people to listen and learn.
Right. So we're going to try to keep it in broad strokes. You could talk about trusts for days, and often that's one of the tools that's used, right, Colin, for this type of estate planning work.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that, as you said, we don't do all of this work ourselves personally. We always get the advice of a legal professional and lawyer involved. But that's one of the benefits of dealing with a service like avoidprobate.ca is that we bring these people to the table for you.
Maybe we start off with talking about what a trust is in general terms, broad general terms.
Okay, well, I'm going to run through some definitions, and I'm going to rely on you to break it down into relatable terms for our listeners. This information I'm getting out of the Wealth Planning Strategies for Canadians book. It's an excellent text. If you're a financial services nerd like we are, it's daunting and boring if you're reading through the whole thing as just a general consumer. But I'm going to take some definitions out of this book, and I'll rely on you to relate it to the common people, to real people.
I'll try.
Okay, so let's start with what is a trust? And simply, a trust is a mechanism by which assets can be held for the benefit of another person upon specified conditions.
So we have talked about trust many times. We talk about this bear trust all the time, and we're going to talk about that again today. There's many kinds of trusts, and that's it exactly. And three components mainly, right? Jumping ahead a little bit, Colin, but the settlor, the trustee, and the beneficiary.
Yeah, so there are three main entities to trust agreements and trust documents, and they are the settlor, and that's the person who creates the trust; the trustee, who is the person who holds legal title to the assets of the trust; and the beneficiary, the person for whom the assets are being held.
Yeah, the textbooks talk about the gold coin. I don't know if you've seen that in your readings, Colin. The settlor typically, a long time ago, would settle the trust with a gold coin, and that gave him the authority to be called the settlor. Of course, we don't use gold coins to settle them anymore. We use houses and investment portfolios and things like that for the most part, insurance policies as well.
And the settlor is the one that sets up what the trust does and who it does it for. They're the ones that write the conditions of the trust. And the trustee is the one that's bound to those conditions. And then the beneficiary is the recipient of either funds or assets as directed by the settlor before their passing, and distributed by the trustee on that description or that direction.
And I think it's worth clarifying, we talk to Debbie Stanley every week about the update on the solving the probate puzzle file. And she's acting as a trustee, but it's different. When you're an estate administrator, you're often referred to as an estate trustee, but that's not the same thing that Colin was just talking about with regard to a formal trust situation where you have those three components, the settlor, the trustee, and the beneficiary. So I just thought I'd make that distinction. But yeah, there's the two types mainly.
Yeah, we've got two main types of trusts, which are an inter vivos or vivos. That trust is created during the lifetime of the settlor. And two examples of that are a family trust and alter ego trust. We're not going to get into too much detail on these, but we just want to give a broad overview for people of how these things work, how they're set up, and different options inside of them. The other is a testamentary trust, and that's a trust that's created at the time of death of the settlor. And that's usually through direction in their will. And an example of that would be like an insurance trust, a qualified disability trust, and specifically to the International Day of Disabled Persons, a Henson trust.
Yeah, I want to talk about Henson's trust a little bit. Alter ego trust, you mentioned those. We get phone calls from listeners specifically asking us about alter ego trust because it is somewhat known that it is a way to avoid probate, and it is a way to avoid probate. There are, of course, conditions and restrictions. There's rules. All these trusts obviously have rules. Revenue Canada is very concerned about having things set up properly, people trying to avoid taxes with trusts, avoiding probate with trusts. And I just want to say that I want to acknowledge that, okay, A, we can set up the alter ego trust if you're interested in it. But what I always tell these callers who call in with the question about it, there's probably a better way to do it. And that's where we come in. And people don't always know what the options are. But, you know, one of them is the transfer of assets from the bank to the insurance company. It can often achieve the same goal that people are trying to achieve with their alter ego trust with much less complication. So I kind of wanted to emphasize that, expand on the alter ego trust a little bit. And of course, we also do the bear trust work, which is the tool we use to avoid the probate on real estate, the house, the cottage, investment properties, things like that. I've got a meeting scheduled this week, Colin, with a listener who called in with a real estate portfolio. And I don't want to say the number, more than six different real estate properties as investment properties. And so clearly, you know, what's on the agenda for this meeting is some discussion about using a bear trust, because we can put them all. It's not just the house. We can put it all inside a bear trust and avoid the probate. I'll know more after the meeting, of course, but that's looking forward to that later on this week.
Of course, and every situation is unique. Yeah. And trusts are a great planning tool, probably underutilized in this country, just because people don't understand what they are, how they work, and what they can do for them.
I think if I may just interject here, Colin, I think the word trust itself to a lot of people implies wealth. It's only wealthy people have trust funds.
It's a good point, Ted.
You're absolutely right. And various scenarios to help people protect their estate and asset, and also provide for beneficiaries that aren't able to manage finances on their own. And this specifically is where the Henson Trust comes into play for beneficiaries or heirs that may have difficulty managing the money themselves. I'm just going to read a quick definition of the Henson Trust, Jason, and maybe you can put your two cents in after I finish. So it says here, if you are leaving an inheritance to a beneficiary with a disability, it is generally not recommended that you simply leave their inheritance to them directly. In most cases, it is recommended that any inheritance be left in a Henson Trust, which may help to preserve the beneficiary's right to receive any social assistance payment that he or she may currently be receiving. Jason, what social assistance programs are they speaking to?
Well, we can talk about ODSP, Ontario Disability Savings Benefit. I should look up the definition. ODSP is a popular one for sure. Just getting back to the Henson Trust, it's not that old. Mr. Henson set it up, I'm going to say, 25 years ago. And I think he was out west in a western province in this country. And it was challenged, of course, and he fought it and fought it and fought it in the courts, and he won. And so that's where the name Henson comes from. And he did that to protect his daughter, I believe, who was special needs and on social benefits of some kind in whatever province. I think it was Alberta. I'm not 100% sure of that. But, you know, every province in Ontario has social benefits, of course. Sorry, every province in Canada has social benefits. They're different everywhere, but, you know, in Ontario, we think the main one is being ODSP, which is, boy, very controversial. I mean, I looked it up just before we went to air here. Starting February 1st, 2023, people on ODSP who have a disability can earn $1,000 a month before their ODSP payments go down. That is a big improvement from what the earning cap used to be, but still, it's only $1,000 a month before you sacrifice some of your benefit, and it's it goes down fast. You don't have to make much more before your benefit is reduced. The benefit today, I believe the last number I saw is $1,300 a month of ODSP. $1,300 a month, plus you can earn up to $1,000. Okay, that's what we're saying here. So
you think of the cost of living today, and $300 a month income, as well as probably needing some other expenses for support to the individual. That's really limiting.
Yeah, because if you think, and people still labor under this misconception that everything is covered under our health care, and it's not.
Right.
There are people with special needs, have special medications, the treatments, etc., that aren't covered. You can't go to a chiropractor and have the government pay for it. You got to pay for that.
That's right. Now, there are special rules again with the Henson Trust. If you can show that the cost is to cover special needs items, then there can be exceptions to that. And we're not going to get into all the details here, but it's also asset tested. It's not just income tested. And this is the real challenge, if you ask me, because anybody with a house, the asset test is $100,000. So what you said earlier, Colin, about being careful not to leave the assets directly to the individual. Well, obviously, if you've got a house, it's worth more than $100,000. Mm-hmm. So it'd be very easy to get over that threshold and then fail the test, which would mean you're now sacrificing your social benefit. In Ontario, it's the ODSP, like I said before. So there's ways. Using the Henson Trust is one way to plan to right. to preserve, those benefits.
It's really all about planning. Further to that, in the case of a mentally disabled beneficiary, using a trust will also help to avoid the intervention of the public trustee in the management of the trust property. Jason, the public trustee.
Yeah, that's huge. Nobody wants to deal with the public trustee. I can't speak for other provinces, but the trustee's office is a bureaucratic nightmare. They do the best they can. I have to give them credit, but they have an onerous task to represent all of the people in Ontario who are unrepresented. So not everybody, has family that are able and are willing to act as trustees. And someone's got to do it. Someone's got to manage the affairs of these people. And that's where the Office of the Public Guardian and Trustee comes into effect. But obviously, if you can avoid it and you can pay trustees, private trustees or family members or whatever, it's a much better situation for everybody, as long as there's no abuse. And maybe we'll touch on the abuse, but I think we should take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Henson Trusts, potential abuse with trusts, and some of the other options that we're able to provide here at avoidprobate.ca. And we haven't even really touched on the probate factor yet, but I'll do that when we get back right from this quick break. Don't go away.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show. And as usual, we welcome your thoughts and your questions. And you can direct them into fashions. You can call us on a toll-free number at 1-844. I'm going to do this slowly so people don't complain that I rushed through it. 667.
It's only an hour show, Ted.
7628. 1-844-667-7628. Or you can email us info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. And remember, the questions that you ask and we answer are applicable not only to you, but in many cases to many others as well. So you're doing a service to your friends. Fire away.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. I was saying before the break, you got to be careful, mindful of potential abuse with these trusts. And it can happen, of course, like everything else. Colin, you were going to comment on the importance of, you know, putting thought into naming the trustee, right?
Yeah, a parent or a settlor, someone that's designing the trust documents, needs to choose the trustee with care, because often a disabled child would be prone to abuse, as they can't advocate for themselves on all of these matters. So, for instance, if you were to name a sibling of the disabled child as the trustee, that sibling is also the capital beneficiary to the trust, which means they receive the assets in the trust after the disabled child passes. There may be an inherent conflict of interest built into those trust documents that can be to the detriment of the disabled child.
Yeah, we don't want conflicts of interest. It happens sometimes. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but just something to be aware of. You know, at avoidprobate.ca, we do have another tool in our toolbox, which we've talked about before. It's a way, so we use seg funds, right? The solution that we often provide to avoid probate. And by the way, if you have a child with special needs, you really need to be avoiding probate, because you don't want things to be hung up. We talked to Debbie Stanley. It's week 26 for her Roxy Move file. You don't want things hung up for 26 weeks before your loved one or special needs family member can access funding that they need to live on. So avoiding probate is, you know, paramount in that case. We can do that using these seg funds that are provided by the insurance company. We do the transfer of assets from the bank to the insurance company, where now we can put beneficiaries on the account, and the trust can be a beneficiary. That's a question that's come up before. Yes, the trust can be a beneficiary. So we're going to avoid the probate by doing that transfer. And what's one of the unique features, there's many to the seg funds we have touched on before, is the ability to kind of make it like a trust informally at the account level. So without needing to hire a lawyer, not picking on lawyers, we can just stipulate right at the account level that whatever. I mean, if it's $1 million and you don't want your son or daughter to get $1 million lump sum, fine. We can sprinkle it, right? Any way you want.
Yeah, I love this option. And it's not to act or replace as the Henson Trust, absolutely not. But it does act in a trust that when you set this up, you can give direction to the insurance company how the benefit will be paid, not just who the beneficiaries are and who it will go to, but how it comes out. And you can isolate certain beneficiaries on how they receive the money. One could receive some assets lump sum if you feel like they can handle it. If there is another child who you feel like can't handle receiving a large sum of money in lump sum format, then you can stipulate in that contract that they are paid like an annuity. So they can receive X amount of dollars per month until the fund is exhausted.
Yeah, that's right. Don't think it is an annuity. It's not an annuity, even though it kind of acts like an annuity. It kind of looks like an annuity, to Colin's point. It's just your way of setting it up so that, you know, your son or daughter get the money in a way that you think is best for them to deal with it, to handle it. And we can do that. And there's no charge for that. It's built in. It's another one of the features with these seg funds. They're going to avoid the probate. The money's not locked in. You're going to be able to stipulate the terms. You've got creditor protection. You've got guarantees on the accounts that the banks don't provide. It's a long list of reasons to at least review, book a no-charge consultation. We'll come to you and explain it in further detail, answer all your questions. It's, like I said, a no-charge consultation. Call the number that Ted gave you very slowly at the beginning of the segment, and we'll be happy to follow up with you and schedule a meeting. And then we can, you know, like we all say, every situation is different. So it's hard for us, you know, to cover all the combinations and permutations here on the Avoid Probate Show. And that's why we need to have these meetings, you know, one-on-one, and get a better idea of what your situation looks like, right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Maybe we'll leave it at that in terms of trusts for today. It's a lot of info. And I get it. There's going to be a lot of questions. Call us with your questions. Like Ted said, your questions are helping other people. So we don't mind. And thanks, Colin, for your input today in the discussion about trust
stuff.
Great
to be here.
Yep.
Really good stuff. I think this was a great message, and thank you for doing this and bringing your personal story about your brother as well. Mm. I had the chance to meet Zachary, an awesome guy. Big loss for you and your family, and I'm sure you're not alone in that.
Thank you. Speaking of personal stories, I had a meeting recently. We're going to switch to the mailbag right now for a quick story. It's not really a mailbag. It's not a piece of mail. It's just a story about a meeting I had recently with somebody who called in to book the consultation. We went out, had a meeting with a couple different generations, and that's a great thing when mom can bring the kids in, or vice versa, when the kids bring mom or dad into the meeting. We love that. That's just better for everybody. It makes our job that much easier. But Ted, it was a rare situation where because of an illness that was diagnosed, one of the parties received something called a critical illness insurance benefit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with critical illness insurance, Ted. A lot of people are not familiar with it. We can provide critical illness coverage. I don't like to talk about insurance much on the Avoid Probate Show because people think, you know, it's part of the solution, and it's not really the solution to avoid probate. But having said that, if somebody is in need of critical illness insurance coverage, we can do it. And what it does is it simply pays out. Normally it's a lump sum that pays out to you after you survive a critical illness diagnosis. In other words, the three main ones are cancer, heart attack, and stroke. Of course, there's a long list of other illnesses that can qualify, but the three main ones for sure are cancer, heart attack, and stroke. And if you survive, you take out a policy for critical illness, and you have a cancer, heart attack, or stroke event and survive it for 30 days. Interesting, 30 days. Then here you go. You get 50 grand or 100,000 bucks or whatever the number is that is the benefit. You get this lump sum tax free. And the idea is that now you have some money in your pocket because you're probably off work, right? If you've had this critical illness, you're probably taking time to recover. There could be some physio, some rehabilitation, whatever, stress relief, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe there's some medication you need. Like to your point earlier, Ted, not everything is covered, right, by OHIP. And so maybe you need to make adjustments to the house. Maybe you need a ramp put in, whatever the situation is. The idea is to bolster your recovery.
Right.
And that's the idea. So you can now relax. You don't have to worry about missing another week of work. You don't have to worry about not being as your healthiest best, because you can now afford to buy the equipment you need, or the private help you might need, whatever. You get the idea, right?
Yeah.
That's what critical illness insurance is designed for, and that's what it does. So just to wrap this up, in this case, what we're going to do, because the lump sum has been paid out because she qualified, we're going to create a new investment account at the insurance company. We're going to put the appropriate beneficiaries on the account, and this money will not get probated. And in the meantime, like I said, it's not locked in. It's accessible for any needs that the client needs it for. It's just, you know, hey, Jason, can you transfer whatever, 10,000 bucks to my checking account, please? Yep, okay. I tell people it's not ATM access. In other words, it's not instantaneous. It's three business days. So most people can manage three business days.
Listen, three business days is better than what you get from most other places, which is usually five business days.
True.
Or whatever it happens to be.
True. And I'm here to tell you that depending on the time of the day the request is made, it's often two business days, but we say three just to be safe. So three business days is what you're looking at. Like I said, we never lock in our clients' money. Don't believe in that stuff. So that's what's happened. I tied in a bit of a insurance case with a new investment portfolio at the insurance company. All kinds of options for the investment portfolio. I say it all the time. The insurance companies today have as many, if not more, investment options than the banks do. whatever flavor you need to be comfortable with, we've got something to make you happy in terms of being comfortable with the investment mix, which is, again, not locked in either. We can tweak it if we need to tweak it. So that's my story, a recent meeting, great story, and happy to share that with the listeners. Ted, tell us what's going on with your latest podcast.
Well, this week it's a best of, as some of the cast and crew take some time off. So we're going to be repeating a podcast that we did last spring with a gentleman by the name of Daryl Vickers, who's a Canadian. And Daryl Vickers, along with his partner, who are also Canadian, were two of the last, in fact, the only Canadian writers on The Tonight Show when Johnny Carson was the host. In fact, they were there right until the end. So he's got some fascinating stories about the inner workings of The Tonight Show, working with Johnny and working with Doc Severinsen and working with Ed McMahon and some of the guests that they've had on. So it's really quite a fascinating podcast about probably the best talk show host that has been in my lifetime.
I was just going to say, Ted, over the years that we've been working together, I have determined directly and indirectly from our conversations that you're a pretty big Johnny Carson fan.
I am a big Johnny Carson fan. I think Johnny set the gold standard, as David Letterman once said. And I truly believe that. I mean, I know Steve Allen was an incredible talent, predecessor to Johnny Carson, as was, I can't remember his name right now. But
hold on. Steve Allen wasn't first?
Yeah, Jack Parr and Steve Allen came before Johnny.
I never saw either of those individuals. I just have some memory of Johnny Carson's show.
Yeah.
I think I saw his last show.
Well, Johnny was there for 30 years.
Well, that's a long time.
Yes, indeed.
And I never really did understand the whole Ed McMahon thing, but like I was young.
Well, it's just a co-host.
But
somebody to be there with him.
Yeah, but they didn't sit together.
Well, they did, but they didn't sit at the same desk. He sat next to him on the couch. And as the guests came, he kept...
Oh, I thought he was like separate, like almost in a different room kind of thing at a different desk.
No. 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 Right. In fact, he's closer to than any of the other co-hosts on the current talk show scene. They are all, usually the musical director.
Yeah.
And they're way off to the side somewhere.
Well, maybe because of my age, if I had to pick one, Ted, no offense, I'd be selecting Letterman as my all-time favorite. And he's still working. You know that, eh? Letterman's still working.
He's got a great show called And My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
Yeah, and he pops up as a guest here and there sometimes too, which is always neat to see.
Yeah, he does.
He looks a little different these days with a great big white Santa Claus beard.
Yeah, does he ever.
Right? Speaking of Santa Claus, got your shopping done, Ted?
No.
No, you got time.
Yeah.
But we're in December, Ted.
We are in December, and hopefully it's going to be a warm month.
A warm month, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
It's been a cold few days. Okay, well, thank you for joining us this week on the Avoid Probate Show. I know that was a lot of detail with regard to trust stuff, and we tried to tie it in with the probate message and avoiding probate and how important that is, and that there are... there's more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak, and trust can be very complicated. We are happy to take your trust questions. If we need to bring in any of the lawyers on the team, we can do that. We've got some of the best trust lawyers, in my opinion, in the province on the team. Hence, we're always promoting the Bear Trust, which I still hear people telling me all the time, what is this Bear? How come I've never heard of it before? I've had my will done three times, Jason. No lawyers ever mentioned the Bear Trust. But I had a conversation with the lawyer just the other day, and one of our clients who passed away over a year ago now, Ted, I don't think I told you this story. We used a Bear Trust for this particular client's property, and I think the lawyer was saying it just closed or it's just closing, and that's happened without probate on the house because he used a Bear Trust. So a bear trust success story, they do exist, right? It does happen for sure. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. If you're new to the show, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again next week. Just want to thank a few people. Of course, Ian is taking care of us behind the glass. We didn't get a chance to talk to Ian today. We finally got to hear his voice in our ears. It's a bit different. It's because we're not in studio, but maybe we'll get Ian to say hi to the listeners next week, Ted. We had Debbie, of course, with her weekly update. Colin Keyes joined us, and the world-famous Ted Walshin, as usual. We'll do it again next week, Ted?
Absolutely.
All right. Enjoy your rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.